Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. This is a special edition with our guest, Shaw Guerrero.
All right, welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting. We have some of our bad boys here. Some of the others are out and about, but we're here. Simon Street, how you doing?
Doing real good. How's everybody out there doing?
Good, good. Matt Michaels, how are you?
Doing great. Excited to have someone really special on the line with us.
We do have someone very special. We have Shaw Guerrero on the phone with us. And
hey.
Oh, hey, you there?
Yeah,
there we go. let me first say,
I'm so excited. I start to talk, and I get too excited.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Folks will probably know you when you was with the WWE when you performed under the ring name Raquel Diaz, but you're also a burlesque dancer, and you go under the stage name of Miss Nixon. So, how are you?
Yeah. I'm awesome, man. I'm busy, but I'm really enjoying this this new phase in my life, man. Like, I'm finally in a place where I'm dancing here in Chicago, burlesque, and I'm choreographing. I'm doing what I love to do, and I'm finally in the wrestling community. Mm-hmm. As Shaw Guerrero. You obviously mentioned Raquel Diaz back in WWE, mm-hmm. but yeah, I finally get to be Shaw Guerrero, which is amazing. on Lucha Underground and WOW, so. Mm-hmm. I'm having a good time, man.
let's start in Chicago. First, what troupe are you performing with, and where do you guys perform?
All right. Well, I perform solo for Vaudzilla here in Chicago, and then I perform with the Vaudettes, and we perform all around Chicago. Our biggest thing that we're going to be doing is going to be actually on Chris Jericho's Rockin' Wrestling Rager Part 2.
Awesome.
Nice.
Good.
Oh, my God, man. We're so excited. But, yeah, we perform all the way here in Chicago. And, I mean, you never know. We might be traveling more in the future.
Well, so. we got to get you in Vegas. I mean, it would just make sense to get you guys out here. And,
mm-hmm. Dude, don't even play in Love Vegas.
Well,
I actually go-go danced a long time ago in Vegas for my first time ever back when I was a wee 20-year-old.
And it's really
so electric down there. I got to go back. Got to go back and perform.
Now, where did you go-go dance at when you were down here in Vegas? God. Just curious.
Honestly, I don't even remember, man. It was a small club. Like I said, I was like nobody back then. And I was taking gigs wherever I could. And why was I there? I was there doing a photo shoot for an agency I was with, and they were like, oh, we need you to go-go dance. And I was just like, sure. And it was just this tiny little club. Good time! Holy crap, I remembered. Yeah. I don't even know if it exists.
Well, that's the other thing, too, the way the club scene out here is. Things turn around so quickly.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, you know, that's the same thing in Chicago. Have you guys performed at, because I grew up in the Chicago area. So
awesome. Where about?
Cicero, Illinois.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. I'm still learning all my neighborhoods and everything, but that sounds super familiar. You were like in the city, right?
Right outside the city. Cicero is on the border of Chicago. And that was where Al Capone used to have his headquarters to avoid the Chicago police. So if they were after them, they would go to Cicero, where they couldn't touch them because they were out of jurisdiction, and they had protection by the Cicero police.
That's pretty cool to know.
Yeah.
My husband would have known all about that. He would have been like, oh, I know what that is.
And you know what? And also, fill in, since you mentioned, fill in for everyone who's listening and doesn't know who your husband is.
Oh, yeah. he's a guy known as Aiden English on WWE SmackDown currently. He's also the new commentator on 205 Live, just saying.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that's my hood.
Mm-hmm. And did you guys actually meet at NXT?
Oh, God. We actually met at SCW.
Really? Wow.
So that was back when I was Divas champion down there. And I was queen of FCW. I thought it was hot shit. And he walked in as one of the new kids, and I was like, ew, who's the pale kid?
Right.
I feel awful. That was, like, my first thing I ever said about him. But then, like, when I left and went to go take care of my eating disorder for a year, came back, and he was this, like, new man, super confident, and the sweetest guy ever, and we hit it off right away. So, yeah.
That's amazing. That's so cool. And
it was fun. Love and tight.
Does he ever wake you up with a, you know, it's today is shawl day?
Thank God, no. And if he did, I'd kick out.
That's funny.
I don't even know. I'd probably shoot on him and do something.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. What got you into burlesque dancing? Is it because you had like a background in dancing, or, you know, what just attracted you to that?
Okay. Well, I've always been a dancer ever since I was in middle school and high school. And of course I always loved it. But initially, my old manager, Randy Quintana, who actually does a lot of my photography now, he actually introduced me to burlesque, like burlesque dancers like Kalani Coconuts, who's based in Vegas, and of course, like Dita Von Teese, and you go on and on and on.
Right.
But he introduced me to it, and he was like, you'd be so amazing, and I just never really paid too much mind. I didn't really get into burlesque until after I got out of my recovery from my eating disorder, and it was the scariest and most intimate, shocking way I could, like, a way of expression that I can use to fully love my body and accept my body. And yeah, I just kind of went into the extreme of here it is, and I'm going to do my best to love it. And when I dance and when I do burlesque, I think that's the most confident I've ever been. I've just recognized that at 28. So I can't wait to see where it takes me in the future years of continuing to do it.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. You know, and with that too, you know, do you find yourself when you are performing, do you go to like an alternate, you know, like you said, confident side of yourself, or do you just lose yourself? Like, what's your mind frame when you do that? Is this like a freedom that you feel possibly?
Oh my God. Yeah, man. Like, that's just performing in general for me. But I mean, don't get me wrong. It takes me a little bit to get there. Like in the beginning of the song, I'm just like, don't fall.
Don't fall. Don't be Miss Congeniality and fall.
Yeah. And is everything in the right place? Is everything hooked? And if not, if I'm not even thinking about all that, I'm like, God, my song is so tight. but after I get up over the discomfort of my corset, tight my song tight, I hope my pasties are on. Lord, keep my pasties on. But other than that, when we get into the song, when the first chorus hits, that's when I'm somebody else. And it's pretty freeing for sure.
Is it, you know, I've been on stage since I was a little kid.
As a burlesque dancer?
Yeah.
Wow. Man.
Love to see it, man.
I would love to see that too.
Right. Actually, after this interview is done, Shal, I will text you something that will actually be me doing a striptease.
Oh my God!
It's nothing. Woo. It's nothing dirty.
Wow.
It was on national television. So
don't slide that in her DMs.
It was on national TV.
You found that, but just fair warning, and just like that just popped up on Instagram somewhere.
Oh, love it!
Right,
quite honestly, it's on YouTube, so it can be found. But anyway, we'll get away from that for a second. But with building a character, which as a dancer, you're still, you know, wrestlers do it, actors do it, but as a dancer, you're like every single movement that you're making is part of that character. And is it like, do you find going through the process of choosing music, of choreographing the steps and everything, do you find yourself, you know, trying to tell certain stories with the dance?
Oh my God, man. Yes. And you understand then, like being, you know, on stage and understanding, it's not just getting up there and like, I can do a kick or I can do whatever. It's, oh my God, that's what I love about burlesque specifically.
Yeah.
But dance in general is just like, this is the character I'm doing. This is the song I'm doing it to. This is like every costume piece, every movement needs to have a purpose. You can't just throw something in there that wouldn't be a part of your character. My most recent burlesque was a possessed schoolgirl that like,
wow.
And like, it was for a Halloween show, which Halloween's like my favorite, but
that's speaking my language.
Yeah, well, schoolgirl isn't too hard to ram down people's throats, but yeah,
the possessed part was what I was talking about.
But like, yeah, but it was, but every routine has so much a part of me into it. I wanted to do a possessed schoolgirl because I grew up hyper religious, like almost like it's almost a little destructive, like how religious I was brought up and how strict, like I wasn't allowed to dance for the longest time. And so this possessed schoolgirl was kind of my FU to all of that. And I was just going to go on the extreme. And yeah, every movement was super contorted and weird and gross. But it ended up being hot and warm. So, but yeah, wow. I feel you. It's definitely a character study for each routine.
Wow. Each
character for sure.
That's something that we didn't really know is now I guess we should bring this up at some point, but you are the daughter of Vicky and Eddie Guerrero, for those people who are listening who didn't know. So the upbringing, was it, you know, small town El Paso, you know, very, you know, cozy family, strict religious, was it that kind of upbringing that kind of made you go, you know, years later, like, oh wow, that was kind of fucked up?
You know what, like, it was a mixture, man, because like initially I did not grow up all the time in El Paso, Texas. I was only in El Paso until I was 5 years old and moved to Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
And mom and dad were just trying to do the best for me. So they initially put me in a private school that was like a super Baptist.
Ooh.
Like, we didn't have dances. The cheerleading uniforms were sad because the skirts, ooh, were all the way down to their fucking ankles.
Wow.
But like, yeah, like it was just really hardcore, like super Baptist. And so if that's your thing, like if that's how you find peace, that's cool. It just wasn't for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But then when my dad found, when he finally got into recovery and, you know, the way he came out of his alcoholism and drug addiction was through God, identified, right, you know, through, like Jesus Christ and that whole thing, which was great. And it did him so much good. Me, I'm an extremist and an addict as well. And I took like his beliefs and what my mom and dad taught me to like the 10th degree. And it was just kind of how I was built. It just wasn't the right thing for me.
Right.
Personally. So yeah, I just took it to another level, and like the church we happened to be at was just super, super, yeah, just really strict and very much like God will punish you. Watch the lightning bolts. And wow, it just didn't work for me.
No, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, DJ yeah.
Yeah.
DJ is a very very
I wouldn't say I'm very religious at all, but my mother is heavily religious, you know, but the good thing is that she never pushed it on me. Like I've had a lot of friends that have had that it was pushed on them, and it's just, you know, knowing where they're at now, it's just been, you know, I'm happy my mom didn't do that, you know. And even today, you know, she's still alive. She's just, She'll still throw a word at me here and there, which you know, but she still don't push it on me. Yeah. And I thank her for that much of it. But I know what you're talking about, and I've seen the effects on what the have done for people who that is pushed on. So, you know.
Yeah, and that's like just with any religion, you know.
That's true.
It, you know, it doesn't matter if it's doctors or if it's whatever. It's, you know, if you're forcing someone into it, it's just like with anything, if you want to share your beliefs, cool, do it with love and with respect and kindness to the other person. Right. And, like, I'm sure we can find common ground. Like, that's fine. And if it's not your bad, cool. Like, it doesn't need to be a war.
Right.
And for some people don't understand that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You know, and it's interesting that you say that. It's because with me, and some of these guys know and some of them don't, I grew up in a very Catholic family. I was very religious. Oh. Even at 16, discerned the priesthood. Now, if you knew me, people would be like, what the hell? Because I curse about as much as a sailor and everything. And because I grew up in a family, it was just very core. I mean, I was a youth minister, believe it or not. My father taught catechism, all this stuff. And it became a point to where one day I just woke up. And I kind of realized for myself, like, you know, the definition of what good and bad is, and these people are bad, these people are good. It just was very confusing to me because in my heart, I kind of felt like that's not really what I'm seeing. You know, besides the fact that little things that would pop up, like I love anything horror, anything dark. And that was something that when you grow up in a very Christian family, like, why do you like watching The Exorcist all the time? You know those demons are going to come out of the movie and they're going to possess you.
Right,
oh
right.
You know, and it just hit me to where I felt alone. Mm-hmm. I felt alone in this community. Was there any experiences that you may have experienced growing up, maybe similar, maybe, you know, to where you kind of felt a little bit different and out of place?
Literally, okay. So your example is hilarious because I watched, what was it, The Ring?
Great movie.
When I was like, yeah, I was 12 years old, and my, like, all my family was pretty religious, but my, one of my uncles was like, man, he was top dog. He, like, no one could top him in the Jesus Crispy. And we were talking one time, I was like, yeah, Mom and Dad let me watch The Ring for the first time. And he was like, he pulled me aside. He was like, Mija. He was like, you rebuke the devil. And I was like, whoa.
Do you make you go to confession?
But yeah, but my dad was the same. And like, looking back now, I noticed like my dad was very balanced with his Christianity and everything. He introduced me to horror. And I love that you brought that up because like, he showed me Bram Stoker's Dracula, probably too young.
Awesome.
It is my favorite fucking movie. It is like my
go-to. Isn't it beautiful?
I'm so weird. It's so beautiful.
It is a very beautiful, like, romantic horror. I could go on for days, but I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Yes. No, the same way. And my dad, like, it was funny because he justified it. He was like, because my mom was like, should y'all be watching that? And my dad was like, no, see, he finds the Lord in the end.
It's true. He does.
My mom was like, he does. And I'm just like, oh, okay, so it's fine.
That's awesome.
All the sexual craziness that was happening in the movie, which was fantastic. But yeah, no, my dad loved all that. And not a lot of people know this, but my dad actually, if he never found wrestling, if like he never fell madly in love with it, he actually wanted to be a horror makeup artist.
Wow.
Yeah, not a lot of people knew that, and I knew that because we would go to Universal Studios and go to the horror makeup show and be like, I want to do this. Like, I would love to do that. And, yeah, he wanted to do that. He wanted to make Dracula, like, for real.
Wow.
Wow.
But,
man, that's awesome.
So I got to ask you real quick, what was your favorite scene in Bram Stoker's Dracula? I got to know.
Dude, okay.
I know it's hard to pick one.
You know what? it's so hard. So like when Dracula and Mina are in that like room with like all the candles and stuff like that, and like I don't know, it was just like a super romantic kind of moment. And I think at one point when she leaves him finally to go with that, you know, uppity husband of hers or whatever, like he cries blood.
Yeah.
In that. Yeah. I love that part for some weird reason.
Awesome. No. It was very well shot, and I think for that time period, it showed, you know, the beauty and sensual and romantic of being a vampire. Mm-hmm. So good choice. Yeah. Good choice.
So.
Oh yeah, man. What were you gonna be? You were gonna be so pissed if I said Twilight.
Well, that's if you said Sparkle,
I was just gonna say. So you're not a Twilight person then at all, right? Because that's
I like the story. I don't like the sparkle.
I see the sins of it now as an adult. But man, I was a hardcore Twihard in high school. I was Team Edward, like so hardcore. My two best friends and I just like were obsessed. It was terrible.
I think a lot of people were.
Yeah, you weren't the only one.
I don't know.
It's
I really don't know.
But it's just really funny because those of us who, you know, grew up, Chicago, I grew up on Svengoolie. And Svengoolie would, you know, show the Universal horror films. And, you know, to me, I want it, you'd figure most kids would be afraid, but I want it to be in those films. I want it to be a part of that. You know, I wasn't afraid. I was intrigued by what this, you know, what was frightening about this. Because to me, it wasn't scary. It was almost like you sympathized with the creatures, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You humanize them and you try and understand why.
Right.
And even that, I just think they're beautifully shot and they're fucking cool. And I've always liked dark stuff. And, like, when it's suppressed for so long in your childhood, like, I think when I blossomed into adulthood, I was like, fuck it, I like it. And probably a little too much, but that's okay.
And speaking of that, you like the occult, right?
Oh my god! Yep, that's my passion. if I'm not working on choreography or with my husband and our way too many animals, I am scouring Chicago for any Wiccan store, pagan occult store. I'm reading. I'm studying my tarot. I buy way too much shit. Like, I just have a lot of weird stuff in my house, and I love it so much.
Okay. So what's the difference between you and Aiden? Is Aiden into any of that stuff?
No, absolutely not. he's just a simple dude, man. Like, he's I always thought my husband was like the coolest guy ever because I knew none of his music, I knew none of the movies he was into. Like, I still think he's the coolest dude ever because I don't understand what he's into.
Yeah.
He's just, I don't want to call him a hipster. He's not a hipster. He's just his own brand of whatever the hell he is.
Nice.
So. Yeah, but he's a good sport though. Like, he'll go in the stores with me, and I'll just be like, I need another crystal ball, or this stone is good for this. And he's just like, ah, babe, whatever you want. I'll just sit here on my phone. Like, he's really good
at that. That's beautiful. So you mentioned stones. Yeah. Do you because my mother reads tarot cards, and she also has stones, and I grew up her telling me I have to put my stones outside to charge them in lunar. Some of them are, you know, charged in different ways. Have you gone that far into knowing which ones? Okay, I was just wondering, because I don't want to go too deep, because my mom's like, why are you putting my business on the podcast? But I grew up with a lot of that stuff, being from Louisiana, so you speak in my language.
No, I love that your mom's into that. That's amazing. No, I just got a new stone. Like, my stone is the moonstone, and I finally just got this amazing ring at the Witchery in Galveston when we went to go surprise my mom for her birthday. And nice. Yeah, man, like, my sister was like, okay, good night. And I was like, wait, we need to charge, like, the stones and the rings. And she was just like, seriously? It's like full moon out. I was like, we gotta do it. But yeah, I've gotten that far. I wish I was a lot better, like, with my witchiness. Like, I wish I could be really good at, you know, the holidays and what exactly I should be kind of eating, or kind of like the essential oils I should be having out for the seasons. But I'm too busy right now. Maybe one day when I'm like older, I can kind of really focus on it more.
And then everyone can go by and go, see that woman over there? That's that old witch. Stay away.
I tell Matt that all the time. I was like, babe, I want to be that creepy-ass woman that all the kids are, like, they run by our house.
Are you?
Because they don't want anything to do with me. And I want a pet cemetery, too, like Matt. Like,
oh, nice.
You're going to have the kids saying you're a bruja.
Yes. I want the little headstone for everybody. Like, oh. He's like, this is real fucking weird.
No. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing, actually.
Thank you. Maybe you can talk to my husband.
Well, you know what? You know what? The crazy thing is it's interesting for me because, you know, I've had in the past either friends or girlfriends that are just, once they meet my mom, she's just this nice lady and you know, so sweet and kind. And then when they get to, you know, be around the house, they see, you know, she has tarot cards. I explained to them that, you know, me and my mom were both very empathic, you know, and it freaks people out. They're like, I don't get it. Like, how? Because people have this imagery of, you know, people who study the occult, they're immediately evil. And that's not the case. Mm-hmm. That's totally not the case.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you brought that up, too, because, I mean, the way I was raised, it was just like that evil, that's of the devil. Man, y'all, I couldn't even watch Sex and the City because they were like, oh, that was mine.
Right.
It was literally, like, and then when I was little, I couldn't watch Jimmy Neutron. Do you guys remember
Jimmy Neutron? Oh, I remember Jimmy Neutron, yes.
Not Jimmy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his head was freakishly big.
Yes, but it was, like, weirdly cute, like, in a way.
Right.
But, yeah, they were like, they're atheists because they believe in science. And I was like, holy shit.
Wow. With Jimmy Neutron? Wow.
Oh my God. Throw the crosses up. Jimmy Neutron. But, no, I feel you, though. And that's, like, I feel like when people don't understand stuff, they demonize it. And it's funny that people always claim, like, oh, that's of the devil, when I'm like, actually, the devil's, like, nowhere near any of this. Like, I don't know. It's just how I connect. I connect spiritually. And yeah. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
How then, you brought up your sister. How different is she, or is she, you know, kind of close to the same kind of beliefs that you have now?
My sister is 5 years younger, and she's like, and don't get me wrong, like, our connection with, like, how we were raised with, like, our Christianity and stuff is still very much intact. Like, right. I didn't forsake it all. She's a little witchy. She just went in the witch shop with me, and she loves crystals. That's her big thing right now.
Awesome.
But, my family's very accepting. They let me do their tarot readings just over this weekend, and it was really fun. So
that's really cool.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you done any tarot card readings over the phone?
Oh wait, no. I was actually in Houston this past weekend.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious because so, you know, if you want to read. Tarot card reading for me, I would be a willing participant.
Oh, would you?
If you'd be willing to. You don't have to. No pressure.
Oh, that would be amazing. The only thing, I'm still a newbie, and so I don't want to give you some bogus-ass reading. Like, I like having the person in front of me and having them shuffle their own cards and really put their energy into what they need. Maybe when I'm more seasoned, though.
Okay.
When I'm more seasoned, I'd love to.
Or when we get you out to Vegas, we're definitely going to have to do that then.
There you go. And as my treat for you doing that, I will treat you and your husband to come to Zach Baggin's Haunted Museum, which is a museum of oddities, the occult, and possessed items that's here in Vegas. And I think you would extremely love it. I go every year for my birthday and sometimes a little bit more. So make that a deal.
Okay, at the end of this, you need to give me that Instagram or however the hell I can look that up, because that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's one of the coolest it's one of those things where they actually take you in, because of the size of the building. The building is actually an old building that they will not allow anyone down in the basement anymore because there's so much paranormal activity going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's thrilling. It's really an old place, and he has so many different items there that they have to have it in groups of about, I think it's maybe like 10 to 12,
mm-hmm.
and you get a tour guide, and these tour guides are wonderful because they have the information, and they've seen some shit that can make you, you know, turn ghostly pale, yeah. And there are some of the most possessed items in the world.
Like the Dybbuk box?
Yeah, the Dybbuk box.
The Dybbuk box.
Yep.
So, oh jeez, man! Oh, that sounds amazing. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm, which is crazy though. Like, I don't know how you guys are. I'm a real, like, legit scaredy cat. Like, I want to see it, but I'll be there, like, almost against my will, but not quite because I want to see it. But I'll, like, oh, I'll be really fun to do it with. I promise.
Well,
like, I freak out.
I'll tell you right now. I went with my buddy's girlfriend recently, a couple months ago, because he would not go because he was afraid that he'd take spirits with him. And when we got there, you know, we kind of laughed about it, you know, oh, he's such a, you know, such a wimp and, you know, suck it up and blah, blah, blah. And then we get in there and the first kind of real possessed thing is Bela Lugosi's mirror.
Yep.
That he owned. And if you look into this thing, really weird shit has happened to people. And as soon as I saw that, now I'm a Bela Lugosi freak. I love him and have since I was a kid. And I'm like, no way I'm looking at this mirror. Because right away I felt like if I did, I was opening a portal because I'm so into him. And so she looked into the mirror. And as we're walking out of the room and stuff, she's like, yeah, that was kind of weird. And for the rest of the time, the items that they had that were the highly possessed items, both of us basically stayed away because, because we didn't want to take, you know, it's scary. No. When you hear the stories about people, you know, encountering these spirits, you know, you do sign a waiver, by the way, when you go in.
Yes.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, oh, God.
I'll definitely send you the link.
No, man, I believe in bad energy. I hope you sage the shit out of y'all. Like, I hope y'all got some sage.
I do. I sage myself regularly in my room. I also have a collection of stones and crystals, quartz, to you know, help with balancing out any type of attachments I may or may not have. The only attachment I can't get rid of is debt, unfortunately, but I'm working on that.
I think we're all working on it. No, I get to, and like, I love the occult and I love all of that, but when it comes to like spirits, I'm like, I do believe in opening realms, and even then, like, I get tempted to like seek someone out to communicate with my dad sometimes, but I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like, it just, it wigs me out a little bit to just think about communicating
with
that other realm. I'm just like, now I'm
going
my little crystal and my little tarot cards.
I'm good. But but you know, that's very interesting too, because, you know, I lost my uncle, died in a motorcycle accident when I was about 7 years old, and it's part of life, and you learn, you know, it was a learning experience at that age. But one of the biggest things that I always thought was, you know, subconsciously, you always think that someone is with you. And one of the first times my parents left me at home alone and went out, I was about 10 or 11 years old. And I just wanted to go downstairs to grab some garbage pail kids. Very simple thing, right? Big, tough 10-year-old going downstairs. I walk into the basement and the stereo's on. And no one has touched the stereo all day. It's been off. And it was John Lennon's Imagine playing. And I'm like, oh my God, it's my uncle communicating with me. I grabbed the garbage pail so quick. I turned off the tuner, grabbed those cards, and ran my ass upstairs and just sat there going, oh my God. Oh my God. It's like my uncle's communicating with me. What is going on? Mm-hmm. And then you're alone for the rest of the evening by yourself on your first time being left alone by your parents.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. Hope you threw on a Disney movie or something.
Yeah.
I get you, though. I mean, I do like I like when little things like that, in my family, we call it sneaky Jesus.
Oh.
It's like, you know, when we'll, like, turn on the radio and it's, like, Lowrider. And we're like, oh, I got you.
That's awesome.
Like, little things like that. But I've been noticing, do any of you guys, like, have, like, dreams that, like, come true?
Yeah, all the time.
All the time? Oh,
It happens too much, to be honest with you.
Wigging you out a little bit?
More so because out of my whole family, not really excited over anything of being too connected to the spiritual world. My family is, but me, no. I like having a normal life as much as I can try.
Okay.
But it scares me a little bit sometimes, too.
I get you.
What kind of reality dreams have you been having lately? We just turned into Dr. Phil now.
No. Right. No, we have to be like Cleo.
I'm about it, though.
Come on, darling, tell us about your dreams and I can interpret it for you. Just pay $7.99 at 1-800 call Cleo.
Yes, Miss Cleo. Oh my god. So the most recent one I had, and they're not very like what do I want to say? Like A plus B equals C. Like they're a little weird, but my most recent one is I woke up and I had this terrible, terrible dream. I have four cats, and in my dream, I dreamt that I stabbed each cat, and I killed them. And I was like, awful, because I'm like hardcore pet mom. Woke up, and I was just real disturbed about it. And my husband didn't understand. He's like, they're just dreams. Like, they don't mean anything. Don't worry about it. And I was just in a real sour mood all day until, that morning, I just got a septum piercing, and it was like really hurting me, and I couldn't understand why it was off. And I called my piercer, and she's like, "Oh, just come on in. I probably just need to be cleaned." And so we went, and I sat down in the chair, and they found out my piercing, like my skin was growing into an opening on my piercing.
Oh
and
no!
This thing is like, this thing is like a week fresh, so it's still tender AF. And I ended up being up in the chair for over an hour, bleeding profusely because they had to pierce me four times.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
And I was like, whoa, that makes sense. And
that's
like,
why they had the dream.
After that happened, that's why I had the dream. And after that, I was fine. I had the best day after some pain medication. But like, it was fine. But I was just like, that's so crazy. Like, in some way, and like that was gonna happen, but the piercing and the four cats and the stabbing them was just kind of funny. But definitely most recent one.
What was probably enough to get you to be alert enough to be, you know, not to say that you would ever want to have a piercing go bad, but it was enough to alert you. And so sometimes dreams kind of do that, right? You know, I mean, you'll have a weird dream, you can't really interpret it, but if you think about it and step back, you'll see how it's connected with something you were supposed to be open to receive.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just crazy. And like, I'm so into all of that, into signs and intuition and all that. Matt isn't, which is great because he keeps me down to earth when I can go a little bit too far into it. But I think we balance each other pretty well. But I feel like I love the dreams. Right now I'm just having a lot of reoccurring dreams, which are really annoying.
Yeah.
It's like, fix this problem.
So do you remember a lot of your dreams? Like after you've had them, can you totally recount them? Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I always can. And it bothers me because I'll be like, babe, what did you dream about when we wake up in the morning? He's like, I don't know. I forgot already. I was like, how can you fucking forget already? We're literally like a minute out of sleep. But yeah, I can like write them down and like remember pretty vividly. But like, can you guys? Are they pretty like...
Well,
kind of like my husband.
One of the things, and I think this goes back to probably when I was in high school, is when I first started really noticing it. When I was a kid, the first thing when you'd get sent to bed, but you were still a little wound up, what I would do is I would think about the Flintstones. and I would will myself to dream that I was in a Flintstones cartoon. And that's the it was the weirdest thing, because I'd never thought about it, or no one ever said anything. It just came to me to just kind of like use that to kind of like, you know, make that. And then I saw Nightmare on Elm Street.
And then Freddy.
Well, what's interesting is that I would try to force myself to have dreams to meet Freddy, because I really wanted to meet Freddy Krueger.
So time out. So you forced yourself to dream about a undead dream eating child molester.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah. Holy shit, man, you're hardcore. Yeah, well, I don't think I'd be brave enough.
Well,
except for a moment, I would not be brave enough to meet Freddy.
But you know what eventually I started realizing was the dreams, that feeling when you wake up from a dream and you swear to God whatever it was you just dreamt, it's still with you. Like your heart's beating a little faster, you might be sweating a little, or you just feel like if you had a dream where you like a close friend of yours or a family member or something passes away, right? You wake up and like your instinct, or sometimes when I'm dating someone and I date like we broke up, the instinct is right away, I've got to find out if we're still dating, you know?
Because it was so real in the dream.
So real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Part was telling you should break up.
No. I could do the same thing, and like they feel so real. Something that else has been happening, and like I haven't done this since I was a kid. I'm starting to sleepwalk pretty bad now.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
That's...
Like when I was a kid, I had this super awesome scar on my eyebrow because I was sleepwalking. I got a huge gash. And then I guess I was sleepwalking, because I would have remembered this. Got up in the morning, took a shower, and I'm like washing my butt, and then I was like, "Whoa, that's a huge gash in my butt."
Oh, shit!
I swear, it's 5 inches long. This huge gash.
Oh my gosh!
Wow.
And I was like, "Well, I would have remembered that. That's cool. Something I get to cover up with makeup for burlesque."
Yeah.
But
oh man.
Yeah, but I'm like sleepwalking again.
Oh man, so. Is your husband well prepared and knows kind of what to do? Because, you know, they always say that, you know, when a person's sleepwalking, you don't abruptly wake them up, or you're not supposed to.
No.
Is he prepared a little bit? I mean,
he's pretty good about it, because he's like, he's handled me when I talk to him in my sleep, and when I'm up, like I'll get up and like I'll be dreaming about spiders, and I'll be up like brushing the spiders off me for like 5 minutes.
Yep.
And like... And he'll like, he'll just gently talk to me, and then I'll go back to bed, and he's like, "All right." But that's that. We might have to just have a discussion about the bigger sleepwalking kind of thing. The gently guide the person back to the safe zone of the bed. But I don't know. Yeah, we might have to talk about it.
So is Matt the kind of guy then in your relationship who gives you playful then like teasing, or, you know, little... You know, just little things about you having these, you know, different quirks, let's say. Does he, you know, give you shit for that? Or is it like he just kind of brushes it off and just, you know, it's like,
No, we have a very playful relationship, but
awesome.
He's a very sensitive person and I am too. So I feel like we know where the line is with us. And when we cross it, we're really good at communicating, like, "Hey, that was kind of a dick move."
Yeah.
Like, we'll talk about it. We're pretty good communicators. Yeah, I think we do have fun though. Like, I think you gotta laugh in your relationships, and you gotta, you know, make light of it. If we're too serious all the time, it just like gets stressful.
Because
I'm already a stressball as it is.
Then it
keeps it light.
Then it's like Twilight every day if you're too serious.
Oh, what a nightmare.
Our interview with the vampire.
Oh, man.
Well, if you end up with it, better than with fucking Team Jacob, like, who wants to end up with a werewolf? No.
This is very true. This is very true.
Okay. So,
correction, shapeshifter.
Shapeshifter, exactly. Yeah, because...
Yeah, correct.
Because she just totally...
Werewolves are way more badass.
Yeah, exactly. She totally just fucking killed the whole... When she came up with this mythology that made no sense to vampires or werewolves. So I'm just like, okay. Yeah, no.
All right.
No.
I'm done.
So...
it was for sure a teen series. It was for the teenagers, not for the, you know, the horror minds or anything like that. The people that actually study and love... the folklore of it.
Right, exactly.
Well, I think also, too, I mean, it's one of R. Kelly's favorite movies, especially with, you know, Jacob imprinting on a young child at such a young age.
Oh! Oh,
I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Simon?
You know what? That makes a lot of sense.
So, I'm gonna steer it to, you know, you talked a little bit about your eating disorder, and we haven't released it yet, but we talked to Buggy Nova, Skylar Moon, and
yeah.
So you guys were there at around the same time, right?
Oh, she told you.
Well,
no, that's okay. I mean, I wasn't gonna. We were in that together, like, not at the same time exactly, but we brushed shoulders, right. When we were there, and, it was a struggle.
Yeah.
I'm happy I had somebody else that understood, like, very intimately
and
while I was there, especially with the rehab experience attached to that.
And I know she, you know, she was wonderful and shared, you know, her experience and is, you know, currently getting her degree to help others. Have you had a chance to, you know, maybe talk to, you know, some of the, you know, teenage girls or some of the, you know, younger women in the, like, Chicago community and, you know, explore, you know, giving a little inspiration or a little, you know, support? Or do you just kind of, you know, kind of stay back from it and try to move forward with what you're currently doing?
I haven't done it specifically here in Chicago I'm not going to make an excuse. I just haven't really thought out as much recovery here in Chicago. I'm going on, I want to say, 8 years. Abstinence from all that, but I did in Florida. Like, I actually went back several years after I left my rehab facility, and they had me back, and I got to tell my story and everything. And I'm always, always, always open to sharing my story with recovery. Like,
yeah,
that's a given, and I hope, like, with my following on Instagram or Twitter, that I make that very clear. And I guess. And I still struggle. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I still, like, I'll have an emotional time where I emotionally eat sometimes, or I, you know, it's just, I've been having a lot of trouble lately. Just, we have this awesome cruise line deal coming up with Jericho. And, you know, anytime I have TV coming up for Women of Wrestling, I always get that little voice in the back of my head that's like, let's just get thin. You know, take the fat burners and do the whole thing I used to do. And it's been really hard for me to fight it lately, but thank God I have a really good support system, and, you know, and I just have to push through that. But thank God I haven't, broken my specific, recovery kind of, boundaries. Yeah. So I feel very, like, thank God for that, for sure. But yeah, I haven't had an opportunity here in Chicago. I'd love to be able to have that. I'd be down for it anytime.
Yeah, it's one of, you know, to me, it's one of the more important issues, because I've had the struggles, and mine has been the other way. It's been being the fat kid since I was a fat kid, you know, and losing weight and then gaining weight and losing weight and then gaining weight, yeah. You know, and it's amazing, like you said, when you emotionally connect something, like, you know, that little voice in the back of your head just saying, hey, you know, you got this coming up, you know, well, why can't you go and do a little this, you know? And it's like just constantly fighting yourself going, hey, you know, I'm okay. You know, I'm okay to be who I am.
Yeah, no, I get you. And it's like, it's so hard and it's so against our culture to accept your body as it is right now, instead of like, oh, I'll be happy when I get into this, or I'll be happy when I'm this buff or whatever. And it's just like, and it's crazy because that doesn't help anybody. Like, right, I'm in my studio right now and I'm reading, like, I write on my mirror and I'm like, I wrote something down. I was like, eat balanced, reach physical goals. Your body is what it is. It's beautiful and worthy right now.
Yeah.
And like, that was me on a bad day. Like, just like, don't over exercise. Don't, like, you got to go eat after this. And then when I have a bad day, like, I don't need to necessarily go on like a fast food rager, you know? And it's hard, man. It's a struggle every meal.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Well, and also too, the great thing is for me, my ex-wife actually did struggle. She was a gymnast at a college in Utah, and she struggled with an eating disorder. And I really didn't know about it until after we were married, and I had never had any exposure that close or ever got a chance to talk to somebody. And she was able to kind of break it down to me. She's kind of what you were saying, like pressure would come up or deadlines and whatnot. And then also on top of that, you know, having to meet a certain weight requirement as being a gymnast. And she would just say that that was, she felt like was the only way that she would kind of like relieve herself. And she as well got help for it, and she would, you know, speak to younger, you know, younger kids about it, of the pressures. And I find it very inspirational that you are able to reach out to people, because you never know how much of an impact you make, because there's so many people that are struggling with this problem. There's not that many studies. They're only just now really starting to have studies and really talk about it openly. With young girls, like my daughter is 14 and she's a cheerleader, and I remember they brought in, you know, a dietitian, but they also want to talk about making sure that you're healthy and have an open dialogue. And I want to say, because I have a young daughter, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story, and to hopefully anybody, you know, who's ever struggling with the eating disorder, you know, where can they find you on your Instagram? Because, you know, you might reach somebody who thinks they're alone and they have no one to talk to.
No, thank you. I really appreciate that. And it's just, that's extremely humbling, because I still struggle, and I'm not saying I'm perfect at it. But if we can just communicate that with each other more, instead of what, you have a 14-year-old daughter, I can't imagine how hard it is growing up. Not only just being a woman, and then also like just dealing with the normal shit we all had to deal with, but also like the era of Instagram and these young kids and what perfection looks like, and all of these facade things of like, this is my life, and it's this perfect, beautifully photographed thing, and it's not like that.
Right.
And so, and even I have to remind myself, like, why don't, it's like, do you need to go put on a full face of makeup to take an Instagram picture? No. Like, it's like, oh, I feel bloated, I shouldn't take a picture. No, fuck that. Like, we got to be more real.
Right.
And so, no, like, well, you telling me that inspires me to be more real. So, thank you.
Not a problem. You just made a very good point that, you know, it's funny because I don't really think about it until we're talking like something like this. And that is, on top of all these pressures, then these companies come up with these filters for Instagram.
Oh my gosh.
And it's and it's just like, you know, everyone's out to, you know, achieve this perfect image, and yet in reality the perfect image is the one you see in the mirror.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow, we just
I'm so glad Oof, we went deep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we were really deep. Might need a drink.
I know, right? Why are we doing this over cocktails?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. What do you guys drink? I have to ask since my husband is the bourbon king. What's your drink?
I like bourbon. I am a whiskey guy.
Okay.
Very much. Right. I love me some Jameson, but right now, I don't know why I got a sweet tooth, but I am hooked on the freaking Peach Crown Royal. It is a shame. It is a shame how many Crown Royals I've bought. But I am in school, so that's my excuse of why I'm drinking a lot and my 14-year-old daughter.
There you go.
Not bad.
I think on my end, the Matt Michaels drink would be the White Russian. It's just a nice little thing. I'm not a heavy drinker. I've been a pot smoker since college years. So, and not in a, you know, hey, I'm getting stoned to get stupid. You know, I'm very controlled. I use it actually at night to deal with pain from injuries over the years.
Oh yeah.
And
Yep.
Yeah, and it just, you know, I like to have a drink every once in a while, but it's rare to see me with a drink. And speaking of rare to see with a drink, DJ Impact here.
It is true. Every time it comes to my order, it's usually a strawberry daiquiri virgin, please. And I get laughed at.
Oh, my God.
I know. I get laughed at and talked about. But that's okay. If you know what? I it is cute. Thank you. And you. But you know what? I have.
Like it. I would have applauded you.
Yeah, you know.
You have your drink, babe. You have your drink.
So hold on. What you're really trying to say is that, you know, somebody's got to drive.
Oh, there you go.
I'm not going to feel bad. I'm going to be like, you got a virgin, babe, so I'm going to have another.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
But I will share this with you with Mr. Impact.
Yes.
We were able, at least in the time I've known him, we did have a great opportunity to actually have him have a fireball shot. And I was so proud. I was kind of like that guy. You know, like when you have a friend that finally gets laid and I have memes about it where you're looking, you're just proud and you almost want to cry. That's how I felt about him. Because for the longest time, I would try to be devil's advocate. Like, come on, I have a drink, man. You need one. And he would be like, no, I'll just have my Jaggery, you know. Finally had one, and I was just a proud friend, man.
Hey, every blue Very moon, I'll throw one down. But
so what you're saying, every time you have a blue moon, you'll take a shot?
There you go.
Oh, did you hear that?
You know, so y'all are mean. You like gave him like a terrible shot, though.
Yeah, well, like, I had to start him off somewhere.
You gave him like the meanest, like one that hurts all the way down, like all the way past your culo, man. Like,
oh. I bet you felt it on his culo too later on.
Hey.
Yeah, that spicy poo.
So, right.
No, you gotta give him like a nice smooth tequila.
Oh,
like, you're gonna be shot.
Now, see, he's going to do that alone because I have bad experiences with tequila. I turn into a little bit of a different person. I'm not angry. I'm not angry at all. For some weird reason, when I have tequila, I think that I'm, you know, Channing Tatum in Magic Mike. And so that's why I'm not allowed to have tequila at all.
Well, now I'm intrigued.
Well, yeah, you may be disgusted after you see it.
Once again, now we've got two of us who have admitted to live stripping at one point in our lives. So.
Hey, man, you know what? Like, stripping is a profession. If that's what you like, that's fine.
Right.
But it's funny because like, I teach a move called the Channing Tatum. I teach here in Chicago, too.
Really?
I'm going to have to see your Channing Tatum compared to what I interpret as Channing Tatum. I feel like they might be different.
Well, mine is kind of like the thrust round type of chatting Tatum or chatting on my Tatum or however you want to put it.
I'm going to steal that.
It's like dad bod version, I guess.
You know what, though? Dad bod is a hot bod.
Thank you so much. You know what? Could I like hire you to like scout and find me women that are cool with the dad bod? Please. I will pay
you.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. Like dad's hot.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. You're welcome.
So we got what Matt's drink is, and what is on your menu?
Oh, God, right. Well, my husband had gotten me into whiskey. I'm a big E.H. Taylor fan of that whiskey. But
yeah.
And that one I can actually sip straight.
Wow. But, impressive.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm not as hardcore as my husband, but I can get there. But, like, honestly, on a really shitty day, it's an extra dry martini with olives. And if it's kind of, honestly, my shameful drink, the one I'm a little shameful of, it's sparkling wine.
Oh.
Hey, now.
It's a little, I feel a little ashamed about it. Oh, well.
It all depends on how much you drink.
How much do we drink?
And now how much of it do you drink? That's where the shame comes in.
Oh, God. Well, it depends. Like, so I had my vaudette, the burlesque troupe I'm in. They were all over at my house for a photo shoot not too long ago. And, you know what? The amount that I drank that night of champagne is a little disturbing. I'm not going to lie. We did champagne bongs. Have you ever heard of a sham bong? Champagne bong?
No, I have not. Please explain.
No, it looks like a champagne glass, but then there is a right angle of like a tube that is supposed to connect to your mouth, and you just pour the champagne, and you just take it like a beer bong.
Holy wow.
Do it like a champ, and it hurts, and it's very worth it. There's a lot of pride after you didn't throw up, and so, yeah, I can say I did that.
Awesome. I'm going to try that.
In the comfort and safety of my own home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the best part. Yeah.
Pretty much.
You're right.
Yeah.
So let me ask you then, and I know this is, again, we're going to get a little deep here, but knowing your dad's, you know, history that he had with his, you know, problems of abuse, was that something that you're always aware of as well? Is to make sure that, you know, this could be something that could be genetic, or is it something that you feel like, no, I'm good, I didn't get that, but, you know.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's a really good question. For the longest time, I didn't drink very heavily, and I never did any kind of, you know, drug or anything like that, partly because, yeah, my dad scared the living shit out of me about it. And I am an addict, but what I am addicted to is the food and the perfectionism of my body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's my drug. I'm always aware. Me and Matt are very, like, Matt, my husband, he's very, very balanced as well. We always check each other, like, ooh, like, we had a big family weekend, and there was a lot of drinking, nothing too crazy, but we're like, so we're just going to slow down for a little bit, or we're very balanced when it comes to that kind of thing.
Right.
It just depends on what your drug is. Like, my dad always told me, he was like, you know, drinking for me, he was like, it's a sin, it is a big fat no-no for me. He was like, but your mom, he was like, she can have a beer or two and she's fine.
Yeah.
It's just everybody has their drug and their demons. And so I just know what mine are.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am aware. I am very aware, though. Thank God I've never gone into any heavy drugs or anything like that. So it's, but I feel like I know better.
Right.
Because I saw my dad in a lot of different ways. And yeah, so yeah. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think one question that I would actually like to ask you is, you know, what are any ambitions or things that you either have lined up or that you'd like to do for the future? Like, what do you want to do in like 5 years? Where do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of exciting things coming up that are fueling me for more dreams and ambitions. But, well, my husband and I were trying to actually have kids. Pretty soon, but then I got the cruise ship deal, and so yeah, no big for the next year, and that is totally okay.
Gotcha.
But I want to perform, and there's just some amazing clubs here in Chicago that I would love to become a regular at. There's Untitled Supper Club here in Chicago. There's Bordel. There's just so many amazing venues for burlesque that I want to be in, and I'm so invested in the burlesque shoot that I'm in. It's run by two amazing women, Amy Bender and Honey Villa. Nice. They're fabulous, and they've let me in a lot more into just how things work, and I want to take those girls with me everywhere I can. A huge dream of mine is to have my own rock and roll burlesque group.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, I would love, and like I've been noticing there might be an audience for merging wrestling and that.
Yep.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
so, yeah,
you've heard of in LA because I was out there for 20 years, for almost a decade. Yeah, I think it's been a decade now. They've been doing the Lucha Vavoom, and that's exactly, they hit on the thing of combining burlesque comedy and lucha. And there's there's definitely a lot of, you've got a very good vision. Let's put it that way. I think you got a very good vision.
I would love to see, I have seen that and I have thought about that, and I'd love to bring my vibe possibly to do something like that, or they're not my vibes, I'm sorry, but I call them my vibes and my girls. but yeah, I would love to do something like that. I'm just now getting comfortable with it, because I think for the longest time I didn't know how people would feel just with how respected my dad and my mom are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With seeing that. And so, but then I'm finally realizing, like, I'm not just Eddie's daughter. I'm not just Vicky's daughter.
Right.
Like, this is how I express myself. This is what I am good at. And, if there's an audience for it, then that's amazing. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm still figuring that out, but I'm thinking there might be a market for that.
I think you're absolutely onto exactly. There is definitely a market. And I think, because even just this past weekend at the Orleans Hotel here in Vegas, they had the Rockabilly Fest going on.
Oh, yeah. So cool.
And that's another.
I love that.
Yep. That's another, kind of merger of the cultures where, that's mm-hmm. an audience right there. I tell you right now, hands down, they'd throw down money to see a combination of burlesque and wrestling and music. I see your vision. Yeah.
You got my money already.
Awesome. Yeah,
just let me know where to make the payment to.
So that's kind of like the big thing on the heart. I want to get us into tattoo, like tattoo conventions and all that kind of really big stuff. And so that's what I'm working on right now, and that's what I'm thinking. But and we're moving to the city. We're in the Village right now in Chicago, but we're actually moving to the city this year.
Where are you guys right now in the burbs?
We're in a Downers Grove, so it's kind of a big suburb, but
sure,
it's cute.
Well, Downers, cute. And who grew up in Downers Grove, as I will relate this to wrestling, is the Poffo family. Randy Savage.
Yes.
Yep. He went to Downers Grove South. Yep.
Yeah, they have this they have a little plaque of him. What high school did he go to? Matt knows.
Downers Grove South. Downers Grove South.
Downers Grove South.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, and so that's it's crazy, right? Like small town.
Yeah. I'm just looked up here on Matt's on his Wikipedia. I didn't realize until now that he went to LT for high school.
Yeah.
Which again, it's a small world, because I spent some nights with some great people from Lyons Township High School.
Uh-oh.
What do you mean spent some nights?
Yeah.
Was it in a room? Was it, I mean, was
please
it?
Please indulge.
It was, yeah. It was high school, guys.
It was high school?
Yeah.
So you spent the night with high school guys in a car?
Yeah.
High school guys in a car?
Yeah.
All right, I want to know that story.
All right, so you did some parking with an LP alumni. Okay.
You know,
okay.
You know, hey.
We all park.
Exactly. So you guys then, where are you guys moving into the city?
We're looking at a couple of areas, but we're looking at Worker Park and mm-hmm. Bucktown, and I work a lot in Uptown.
Yeah.
Like kind of, but I'm hoping, like I said, to be kind of sprinkled throughout Chicago. And so, but like the city. So I don't know. It's hard to find real estate that will take five animals.
Yep.
Not gonna lie.
Yep.
Has enough space in like a good neighborhood that, you know, you can walk right like two blocks over and you can hit like a cool hub. So
yeah.
It's hard. But we're looking for real estate pretty vehemently over here. We're really excited to get down there. So there. I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, it's nice too that, you know, I'm assuming Matt's family is still in the area. Is that correct?
Yes, he has the most amazing family. So we're gonna be a little sad that we're not gonna be like, you know, skipping a jump right there. But
right.
I mean, it's not a bad drive. You know, we're still keeping our car. Oh, parking. Parking's another thing. That's part of the time in Chicago.
Well, get ready
to.
I was going to say, get ready to get a chair that will be your designated chair to put out for your parking spot in the wintertime.
Seriously? Like, I had no idea how. Well, first of all, I'm from El Paso, Texas, man. We don't pay for parking in El Paso.
Nope. Yeah.
So when Matt told me, when he would bring me to Chicago, and he was like, okay, we got to park the car when he would take me into the city, and it was like $50, and I was like, are you effing kidding me?
Yep.
I was like, for a couple hours. It blows my mind.
Yeah,
but we'll find it.
Well, and the good thing too is if you get a nice area, you know what? So many of my friends who live in the city still, they bicycle around, and that's really.
I'm terrified of bicyclists.
Really?
The shit out of me. I'm afraid I'm gonna run over them, or even then, I bet if I get into a big intersection, I'm gonna be too scared to like do what I gotta do. It's weird. It's I don't know. I can't. Maybe I'll get there one day.
Just a little bicycle, not a motorcycle, but just a regular bicycle. Wow.
Dude, I would feel more safe on the motorcycle.
Wow.
Because, like, you get to, like, stay in the same traffic pattern.
Yeah, that's
whereas,
what I'm
like, the bicyclists, like, and, like, those fuckers, like, sometimes they, like, they'll just run red lights, or they'll just,
yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, and everyone does it, like, I guess just in general, whether you have a car or a bike, but I'm not brave enough.
Not on your ride.
No, but, like, I'd rather have a motorcycle. That was always, like, a dream of mine. Probably won't happen.
So I got two questions I got to ask before I forget. You talked about wanting to do something with tattoos. Do you have tattoos? And if so, give me some stories about some of your favorite tattoos that you have. Most likely you'll say all of them are your favorite tattoos.
Oh my God. Okay. I've lost count to how many tattoos I have. that's for real. Just because literally I got two more like last week.
Wow.
It is a guilty pleasure.
Oh my God. No guilt. No guilt, man.
No guilt.
All right. No guilt.
Maybe it's just me because I feel guilty for spending the money.
Yeah, I feel you. When you got expensive skin, you know, it takes a toll.
Yeah.
No, but God, what is my favorite tattoo? That is so hard. Okay. I'll give you my top three. So on my left arm, I have a Day of the Dead woman, and she basically, she's like holding a finger to her mouth, like the shush kind of thing.
Right. Oh,
and she
that's
has
awesome.
She has the eating disorder symbol on her forehead, and so it's basically silencing my disease of the eating disorder.
Nice.
So, love her. She's dope. And then, let's see. I think my... Oh, God, it's so hard. So, on my ribs, I have a quote that my dad said that... Let's see. Well, I can't read it right now. But it's like, I'm ashamed of what I've done, but I'm not ashamed of what I did to correct my mistake.
Wow.
And so I have that on there that speaks really loudly to me.
Wow.
With like these markings all around it from like a book I used to love to read. It had like these really cool, like cryptic kind of, designs and flourishes. So it's got that on my ribs. And then my recent ones, I have on my middle finger, I finally did finger tattoos.
Nice.
So, why?
No, nice.
Oh, thank you. I heard, why?
No.
I get that reaction a lot, actually. No, I have my two middle fingers tattooed. One has a crescent moon for my witchy, my newfound witch. And then on my other middle finger, it has a cross for where I came from.
Nice.
So to represent my Christianity. So, yeah.
That's pretty
cool.
Then
I get more because the fingers are addicting.
They're very addicting. So then my second question is introduce us to your fur kids.
Oh, can you hear them right now? Because they're like, they have
their
little collars.
I can only imagine that they are wanting your attention. We are stealing attention from them if they are there. But I need to know your fur kids because they are your kids.
Oh, they are my kids. All right. Well, we have four cats. The ones I personally adopted are Sushi and Thackeray Binks.
Oh, is that from Hocus Pocus?
Thank you, sir.
Yes, Zachary Binks.
You know.
Awesome.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes. So those are my two. I'm like a sucker for black cats. I love black cats. And then we have Jack, as in Skellington.
Who awesome.
We adopted last October. Another black kitty. And then we have Isa, who Matt rescued from a car engine.
Wow.
He was with Paige, and like they were walking to their like apartment complex, like I guess they were in the same like building, and everyone was gathered around the car and they're like, oh my god, and there's a cat in the car engine, and Matt had these long ass arms and he, you know, fished her out, and they were like, oh, she's hugging you, and really her claws were like inch deep into his shoulder. But yeah, he took care of her, and so she's a good girl too. She's our one little white fluffy cat. And then we have a new addition, Willet. Willet the dog. She is a puppy.
Aww.
5 month old puppy. So all rescues. We like adopt, don't shop.
Yep.
But yeah, those are my babies.
And I have a third bonus question. Out of all of your cats and your puppy, which one have you chosen to be your familiar?
Well, I wish I could choose. I think they choose me.
They're all your familiars. Why not?
I wish they all were my familiars. And I still don't know if it's actually a true familiar. It's hard to make that distinction between pet and familiar.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure, weirdly, like, I shouldn't have a favorite, but my baby is Sushi. I wish she was my familiar. But Jack is my familiar, actually. He needs to be around for any ritual I do. He needs to be in the room with me. Like, he paws at all my my candles and everything like that. Like, he's, like, weirdly, like, into all of my witchiness and all that. Like, he's just very attuned to me recently. So I'd say he's my familiar.
Awesome. Yes. So does he get kind of like Sabrina the Teenage Witch's familiar and like transforms as a changing and defends your life? Because that would be really cool.
I wish so hard that the fantasy magic would be on TV. Is real. I wish so hard it is. Although I am pretty obsessed with Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Same here. So how are you liking season two?
Oh my God, it's so good. It's so good. I haven't finished.
I won't spoil it for you.
I love it though. I love the dark vibes it's giving off, and I like Sabrina a little edgier.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Far cry from Melissa Joan Hart.
Yeah.
Oh yes. And I was like, this is what I actually wanted when I was a kid. Like, so hard was for Sabrina, because when I didn't get to watch it until I was like in my 20s, because I wasn't allowed to watch it. And then when I did watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch, I was like, this is it.
Too much comedy.
So when this came out, I was like, finally.
Yeah.
What this needed to be the whole time.
Well, it's interesting, too, because, with the success of Riverdale as well.
Yep, they're connected.
It's like the whole Archie universe is like this cool, hip, dark, brooding, crazy universe. And when we grew up, Archie Comics were like these like wholesome, fun, hey, mom and pop type things. And now it's like totally dark and brooding. I love it.
Now, I will share this with you, and I don't know if you know. Do you know Riverdale and Sabrina are still Warner Brothers' own properties? And they were even talking about possibly having crossovers from the cast of Riverdale onto Sabrina and Sabrina onto Riverdale. So if that does happen, that will be super exciting.
Yeah. Like, you know what? I have to admit, I haven't watched Riverdale yet.
Oh, you're missing
out.
And
so I need to, though. My best friend's even been pushing me. She's like, why aren't you watching it yet?
Did you
I have to count.
Did you ever watch Twin Peaks?
Oh, it's another awesome show.
No, I only know that as a restaurant here in Chicago.
It's a restaurant out here, too, and it's like Hooters. Yeah.
Oh.
That's what Twin Peaks is. But no.
Then that makes sense.
But the, exactly. But the television show, it's something definitely check out, because it's in that same, talking about dreams and kind of dark and brooding and that that time ripple and that beyond. It's got all this stuff there in the, the three seasons and the movie that they have that you'd really I mean, Riverdale and Twin Peaks. Check those out.
All right. Those are on my list right after Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. So you're watching Game of Thrones? Or have you not? And you're going to watch it? Oh, my gosh. So let me ask you this question, okay? Do you feel that Giant's Milk will replace the blue pill?
Wait. Say the last part. Will replace who?
Will Denarius? Will Giant's Milk? Well, let me ask you this question. Did you see this past Sunday's episode? I just want to make sure because I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
So you did. Do you think Giant's Milk will replace Viagra?
I can't understand what you're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. I think my mic's all jacked up. So last week there was a big talk about knighting somebody 10 times. And the person said that, reason why I'm so strong is because I drink Giant's breast milk, basically.
Oh!
Do you think that will replace the blue pill for men in the future? Joking, of course. That joke was probably lost, but it's okay.
The blue pill is a little bit easier to inject than that Giant's milk. That was the most disturbing.
It was very,
It's
so awkward.
It was so awkward. But I love how hard he wants Brienne.
Oh, he does so bad.
I love how he's haunting her, man. Like, he doesn't. Oh, I love it so much, though.
Do you think she'll cave in eventually?
Brienne's
one of my favorite
characters, for sure.
Wow. So, with Game of Thrones in mind, is there a favorite character that you have?
I love Brienne. She's really cool. But for the long time, I loved Cersei. That's like, how she can make you hate her. So I just like maybe just some like acting ability to like. I always love the heel, like that's always my favorite. And so Cersei Lannister. Oh God, but then Tyrion.
Everybody loves Tyrion.
I know. So I'll be a little bit more original. I'll go with Cersei.
Awesome.
Yes, definitely.
Well, I think on that note, we'll start to wrap up here. really quick, we've got to say that, you know, when we called you before we start the interview, we did express how much we love your mom. Vicky is just so sweet and just wonderful, and we really appreciate she did the show last month, and we just got to say that if we were running a competition now, boy, it would be hard to choose between you and your mom if you, like, if people were like, so who are, like, who's the nicest person in the world that you've met so far in your life? Because you guys, I mean, you guys are just so wonderful and sweet, and it's very reflective of how your parents did, you know, raise you. And, you know, it's just, I mean, obviously there's, you know, again, wrestling is something that we all come from in some aspect, you know, to this wrestling thing as a you know, a life, a business, you know, in your case, you know, family for years and years and years. But you find then that common thread that shows you just these wonderful, you know, personalities and how nice and great people can be, because, you know, in the end, we're all just, you know, human beings trying to make it through this life. And, you know, that's more important than, you know, my dad was a wrestler who was really famous, or my mom was the general manager of, you know, a television show, you know, in the end. And, you know, you've come a long way, and you've got such a bright future ahead of you. And that's why we're so excited to talk to you.
Oh my God, you guys, thank you so much for having me on. It's very refreshing, and don't get me wrong, my family's legacy is something I'm extremely proud of, and it's very humbling, and the weight is heavy as well, but it's also, it was really refreshing that you guys wanted to hear about me a little bit more, and what I'm doing, and what I love, and I hope I can do you guys proud. But thank you so much for, like, this was super fun. I had so much fun. You can make this a weekly thing over drink.
I'm down with that. I'm down with that. You know, I will say this on that note. Really, truly a humbling experience to get to know you. Really, I have to say. Just super awesome personality, great energy. You know your stuff. I like to throw out questions when people talk about, oh, I like certain movies and dark stuff. And you pretty much hit every question spot on. So I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. And like I said, definitely look forward to the next time.
Yeah.
So.
Hell yeah, there will be a next time.
With drinks.
Thank you guys so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And just to sum everything up, we just want to remind our listeners that if there's anyone that has an eating disorder, or maybe you're not sure, but you think there's a possibility you may, there is information out there. One of them is the nationaleatingdisorder.org. Just visit the site. There is a helpline number. They also has a screening tool that would also help you get you to the right people, and it's definitely something that you should look into and take serious. So that's one thing there that could help you out. One last thing also, we was talking about, or Shaw had mentioned, she adopt pets. There's an adoptapet.com. If you go there, put in your zip code, it would actually give you information as to where you can go and adopt a pet. And and that right there is great information there. Shaw, we thank you for inciting us with all of this today. And hopefully this will also help others to go and make just the great decisions that you've made as well.
Thank you guys so much. I'm so glad that you tagged all that information. And just know, like, whether you're woman or man or whatever, it's eating disorders affect everybody, and they're not necessarily given as much depth as other addictions, but they are serious and they are real, and there's so much help out there, guys, and you're not alone. whether you're hearing this from me on here, or if you want to follow my Instagram, I do talk about my eating disorder pretty regularly. And so, yeah, just know you're not alone.
Awesome. And your Twitter, it seems like you're at Guerrero_Shaw. That's correct?
Yes.
Okay. And is there anything you want to promote, last thing, that you, anything that's happening that you want to let everyone know?
Hell yeah. Okay, you guys. So I will be on Chris Jericho's Rockin' Wrestling Rager Part 2. I believe that there are still some cabins available. I will be there with my primo, Chavo Guerrero, as well as my mom, Vicky Guerrero. The whole family's coming. It's going to be awesome. And not only that, you guys are going to see me debuting with the Vaudette to the audience of wrestling fans, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff for you guys. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. So definitely hit us up. Check out Chris Jericho's ChrisJerichoCruise.com. And you guys can see the lineup and any other information you need.
Thank you again. This definitely won't be our last time having a conversation with you. So thank you very much, y'all.
Thank you guys so much. Till next time.
All right, next time.